And good morning. It is 16 minutes after 8 a.m. You're tuned to your community radio station, Raven Radio, KCAW in Sitka. It's time for our live local interview. And this morning, we'll be speaking with Dr. Anna Matilda Teary. She's the Fall Scientist in Residency Fellow at the Sitka Sound Science Center. We also have the center's Tori O'Connell here. Welcome to Morning Edition.
Thanks.
Good morning.
Hi. Well, welcome to Sitka as well, Anna. You just arrived on Saturday?
Yes.
And where are you coming from?
I'm originally from France, but I'm now living in Norway.
And you're studying Arctic foxes in Norway. Tell us a bit about the work that you do.
So I'm working within a program that is called the Captive Breeding and Reintroduction Program. It's a program that started 10 years ago. The goal is to have more foxes back in the mountains. What happened in Scandinavia is that there was heavy hunting of the Arctic foxes until the 1930s. Then the hunting was banned. But despite the ban, the population hasn't recovered. So now for the past 10 to 15 years, there has been a lot of effort to try to have the foxes come back into the mountain. So I'm working within that project to try to understand a bit what makes the released foxes successful in their environment once they're released.
So it's breeding and release and trying to determine, well, when can humans step back a bit from involvement at a point where the foxes are ready to just flourish on their own?
Yes, that's the case. So now the program has been running for 10 years, so we're starting to get into that process that is really interesting to really think about what are the next plans for the next few years. You don't want a natural population of Arctic foxes up in the Norwegian mountains that is only dependent on human intervention to survive there.
Yes, so that's not sustainable.
No. So, but there are hopes that it would happen. It would be the case that the fox can sustain as themselves. So, but now we're in this process of understanding a bit more of that.
So, what exactly do you do? What does it mean for you to grow an understanding about what's happening with the foxes?
So actually 90% of my job is in front of a computer looking at the data. So we have we mark the foxes that have been released in the wild, and then we monitor them, we follow up on them. So look at how many survive depending on which mountain area they were released in, or how many use the feeding stations that are set up in the mountains. So in some of the feeding stations we have some microchip readers. So when the foxes go in, we know when they have been in and we know when they have been out. So now we're into this process of looking at all this data, which is a huge amount of data. It's like a big Excel file with 100,000 lines. So looking at where the foxes have been. So there's some actually funny stories. You see that one fox has been within a week at four different places in the mountains, 20 kilometers away. From each other. That's mostly my work.
That fox is really getting around.
Yeah. and also there's also a bit of field work, a lot of like some student supervision, and it's a lot of fun things to do.
Well, that was what I was going to ask you next. So you spend a lot of time looking at numbers, but do you ever get out from behind the computer and trek
yes.
around out there in the woods?
Yes, I do, and I'm really glad I'm able to do that. So I was last summer for a few weeks up in the mountains in Norway. There was some work that we did at this captive breeding station that we have. It's a station that is built up in the mountain. We have 9 enclosures, which one per enclosure, and we are marking all the pups there, and then they will be released later in the wintertime when they're all big and furry and white. And but then there was also some work a bit more isolated up in the mountains, so we went in southern Norway in a place called Finse. I guess you remember the planet Hoth in Star Wars? Yeah, that was there.
That was there.
Yes. So we actually, it was summertime, but there was still a lot of snow. The local people were telling us that they hadn't seen so much snow in the summer since the 60s. So it was kind of fun.
So you got your PhD rather recently studying penguins. Is this what draws you to this kind of work? The chance to get out there and actually interact with the wild animals?
Yeah, I guess so. I've always When I was looking, there are many different interesting projects in science. I mean, there's hundreds of thousands of interesting questions, but I think I was mostly drawn to that places that are a bit more isolated, polar regions mostly, but not only. So, yeah.
Is that one of the reasons you came to Sitka for a fellowship?
Probably.
Well, tell us a bit about where you see the intersections between your work with the Arctic foxes and issues that might be impacting us here.
I think maybe the work itself with the Arctic fox is not so highly relevant to the community here because it's a slightly different system. But the work that I will be doing with the schools, I will be talking into different schools this week and the next weeks, and that I'm really excited about it. And I think there's a lot of things to do in science communication to communicate more to the young people, to the next generations. And I think the main reason that I really wanted to come here was also to get a chance to do that in a place that is with a different culture than my own, in a different setting, and that makes it really interesting. Learn about sustainable use of the environment in a place that is not my own, and that kind of things.
Well, you know, and it seems that the more often we bring scientists into the community who are passionate about what they do, even though we don't have Arctic foxes here in Sitka, then the students learn that there is much to be passionate about with science and might pursue their own interests.
Yeah.
You're also doing thinking about how climate change affects Arctic fox populations, I think, and that's definitely relevant.
Yes.
To Alaska.
Yes. The work with the Arctic fox is definitely really interesting also because it's a species that is present all over the world around the circumpolar range. And the situation between each region and each place can be quite different. You have in Norway and Sweden where there is a high effort to protect the fox and have it come back into its historical range. But then you have places like in northern Canada where the fox is doing okay and there's some subsistence hunting, but they are facing increased competition with the red foxes that are going further north and higher up in the mountains, which is also the case in Norway. Then you have places like in Iceland where they have a lot of foxes. They're hunting them. They're not hunting them for the fur or anything. They're just hunting them. Yes, that's interesting. And they don't have any red foxes. Maybe one of the reasons they're hunting them is that they are the biggest predator on land, and they have this really strong idea that they're the one killing all the lambs.
Well, you know, that's not a foreign concept to Alaskans either. I mean, that is also often an argument for taking wild animals in Alaska as well. Identified as predators, they're in competition with humans. So I think it's really interesting how your work, although around a very specific species, integrates very common concepts, human, natural system interactions, climate change. How do we help a species come back from the wild? And why would we want to in the first place?
Yeah, that's all really interesting questions. And I agree with you that it is relevant for any place in the world. So that's make it really interesting to be here to talk about that.
Well, you've been working on this project for a year and a half. What are some things you've learned that have maybe been surprising that you didn't realize that you would actually learn in this during this experience?
I guess what I learned the most was actually working with people from different cultures. Up till now, I had been mostly working in France, abroad for some field work, but mostly with French people. And it's even though Norway is really close to France, the culture is quite different. So learning to work with people from different cultures and trying to keep the both sides of both my own culture and the new culture there has been actually really interesting.
And that, of course, is always applicable wherever you are.
Yes.
I would say I'm looking forward to Anna Matilda is going into the high school, Sitka High School. She's going to talk to the fifth grade class, and she's also going into Mount Edgecombe. And, of course, some of those students have Arctic fox in their communities. So it'd be interesting for her to talk to them about their experiences.
That's true. And you know, Anna, I could talk to you forever about this, but Tori O'Connell, tell us a bit more about what Anna's going to be doing while she's in Sitka.
Well, she's very busy this week. She's in the classroom at the high school and the fifth grade STREAM team, or Science Club, I think as it's called this year, and Mount Edgecombe High School this week. She is going to be the star at our Science Cafe on Thursday evening, which is an event that we try and bring the science teachers into and scientists from the community together for a casual gathering on Thursday night. And then next week she'll be giving a public talk at the Natural History Seminar Series that's sponsored by the Science Center and UAS through the Sitka Charitable Trust. So that'll be next Thursday night, I think. I want to say it's 7, October 22nd at 7 p.m. at UAS. She'll also be here through WhaleFest, so she won't be presenting at WhaleFest, but she gets to experience that. And so I'd encourage everybody to come meet her, and if you want to go for a hike, please come grab her. And we're just really excited about this month.
So people can go online to the Science Center's website, learn more about Dr. Anna Matilda Teary, and perhaps contact you, Tori, for a hike? How would that work?
Sure. 738-4000 is my cell phone number, and we can get you hooked up. And I also would be remiss if I didn't thank the Skaggs Alaska Foundation for bringing Anna Matilda here, and National Science Foundation for supporting the scientists in the residency fellowship, which for the next 5 years is Arctic and polar themed.
Well, wonderful. Thank you both so much for joining us this morning.
Thank you.
Thanks very much.
We've been speaking with Dr. Anna Matilda Teary, who is the scientist in residence at the Sitka Sound Science Center, and Tori O'Connell.